Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I am Sharon Lecter, your host, and today I get to introduce a good friend. And we've been associates for quite a while, and I'm just delighted to have her as part of my community. Nicole Weber, thank you so much for being with me.
Thanks, Sharon. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Nicole, you have, I would say you're a serial entrepreneur. You think of a problem and you solve it. So you have multiple businesses that you are either currently running or developing. And it makes me so proud. I love it. So not only do you have a beautiful property in California that you're now using as Airbnbs and just having a great time doing that with your husband, but you also, your authority expertise is in the field of marketing, digital marketing and regular marketing and SEO and lots of different things. So today I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to always start with my guest by you telling us a little bit about little Nicole, a little bit about your background.
Sure. So little Nicole was, I was always the artist in the class growing up. And so I knew I wanted to do something along those lines with art, but I didn't know what. And so I was actually fortunate enough to have an uncle that was a graphic designer. And in those days, it was like commercial art is what they called it. I had no idea what that was, but I knew that he always like drove nice cars and had a nice house and looked good. And so I'm like, okay, I want that versus like trying to paint and sell my paintings, you know, or whatever, right? So anyway, I was fortunate enough to have my Uncle Esten kind of guide me and show me what it looked like, you know, what a, you know, graphic design and commercial art actually looked like. And he helped me to get into the right schools. And so I was in school for 6.5 years doing graphic design and advertising. So it was a bit of a long haul, but it was great. So then once I got out of school, you know, I started working for other companies and stuff like that. And I only probably did that for about 8 years. And I was watching very closely how other people were running the companies. And the last company I was in was during the dot-com boom and bust. And I was like, you know, that company spent so much money, millions and millions of dollars, and we didn't really produce anything. And then we all went out of business. And I was like, you know what? I feel like I could run a company better than that. And so I did get let go. And that was kind of the kick in the pants for me to go and start my own business. And so that was in 2001. So 23 years ago is when I started Spot Color Marketing.
And throughout those 23 years, you've had a lot of renditions, a lot of changes, lots of pivots because of what happens in the economy. And so you've been part of what is important is to be on top of your game and know what's happening, what's not happening. So when we talk about the transition from traditional marketing and graphic design to now it's all, a lot of it's electronic, a lot of it's computer-based and social media, talk mm-hmm. about how you see the changes. Well, let's focus on social media, because one of the things I talk about a lot is that business owners, they get a pattern, a system, and then they kind of stick with it. And when then Facebook changes something, you have to understand what's happening in the industry so that you have the ROI. So talk mm-hmm. a little bit about the importance of social media and understanding how it's changing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the main thing with social media is you just really need to know where your target audience is, because every time you turn around, there's a new platform, there's something else to learn, which is great. But if your audience is not over there, don't spend your time over there, because as you know, social media can be a huge time suck. And to like get up to speed and be doing all this stuff, and it could not give you any return on investment if your audience is not there. So that's the main thing that we look at. It's like, if you're a business, LinkedIn probably, right? There's Facebook, Instagram, but you just kind of have to look at exactly where your target audience is. And then, you and I have talked about this before. You don't want to, you want to put money and dollars into building up your own business assets. And so that's like your website, your email list. If you're putting a ton of time into social media and then you get shut down, there you go. All of that time is for naught, So I feel like it's good to be in social media, but really make sure that you're in the right platforms and you're spending the, correct amount of time over there.
Yeah, so I teach that all the time. Your value of your company, a large part of it is intangible, and part of that intangible valuation is your database. And so a lot of people out there getting excited because they have a million followers here and there, but they have no database. And so they don't have the value. So they've gotten the lead generation going, but they need to bring them home. So I say nurture your social media, entice them to come into your database so you increase the value of your company. Because there are many companies today that sell simply for the value of their database. And so it's something that you have to really pay attention to.
Right, exactly. So if we put up like posts, if we're doing the exact that exact thing where we are driving people back to our blog to read the whole article, for example, or coming back to our website because we want those links, and then we want to be able to build up the authority of our websites, because that's another big asset that we all own as business owners.
So you have your main digital marketing company, and then you have another one that basically is focused in the cannabis area, helping companies in that arena. So again, you're seeing the opportunity for the niche marketing in that arena. And so I think it's really important for people watching and listening to understand you got to pay attention to what's happening in the industry, in the world. So to know how best to utilize what's available, because things do change. I mean, Facebook, how often do they change their algorithms? Too
I
often, right?
know. Yeah. And digital marketing stuff is changing daily, and now with the whole like AI thing, right? It is just like, oh my. So
So talk a little bit about how you see AI playing a role that is a correct role in the world of social media. Yeah.
well, for a lot of our content, we use AI. And we did a lot of research first, because since we're building, SEO campaigns, and we're concerned about, okay, is Google going to penalize us for using AI content? And, we needed to make sure that a lot of the things that we were doing were in place first before we just started, using it for ourselves and our clients. But basically, the way we use it is we use it as a research tool. And just to kind of get the juices flowing. Sometimes, you're just like staring at that blank page going, oh my gosh, what am I gonna post, right? What's my content calendar gonna be for the month? And so we'll go in and we can see like, what kinds of topics are people interested in? What are they searching for? We can come up with a bunch of, different topics for the month, and even like emails and social media posts and SEO articles and blog articles, all of that stuff. But one of the things that we absolutely always do is we have our writer go in and edit. And so we get a first pass from AI, then we always go in and we edit it. We put it in our own words, because a lot of the AI is all flowery, and a lot of it you can tell that it's been written by AI. And we also want to make sure that it is our own writing. So that's one of the things that I would always recommend is use it as a tool. don't rely on it, and then always go in there and make your do an editing pass.
That's a huge issue. So I want to reemphasize that, because you guys know how much I talk about intellectual property. There are lots of lawsuits right now for people who've used AI to write something and just posted it like that and then claimed copyright or claimed ownership, you know, and your copyright is of your original work. So yes, using AI as a research tool, but then putting it in your own words so that it truly is yours, gives you the ability to copyright it and the ownership. And for those of you that, like Nicole, may work for other people as an outsource, as an independent contractor, if you do something through AI and then pass it off as your own to them, you're probably violating your agreement with them, because they're paying you for original content. And that original content is for you to make, not for you to pull out of AI. Because as Nicole said, there are filters out there that you can run content through to see if it's AI generated. And it does impact Google. Google does that. So if Google identifies that what you're doing is AI, you end up getting penalized. And so it's very important to be really the captain of your own ship. And yes, AI is here to stay. But the issue is, are you making it yours, or are you just being lazy, quite frankly, and having to do it and then posting it? So it's very important what Nicole just talked about. So Nicole, I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. So yay.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about, for the business owners that are watching and listening, what do you see? And these are not questions she had ahead of time, so hopefully I'm not going to stump her, but what are the two or three most often mistakes you see people making on their website or in social media, whichever one you want to talk about?
Well, I think it's mostly like around branding and people not understanding really their target audience. And that can be like, you know, the look of it. You know, just because I like pink doesn't mean that my target audience does, right? And so, and then the content too. So it's like, you know, that's really where you need to start, is figuring out who exactly is your target audience and who is that avatar. And then you want to create all of your look and feel, all of your content for that person. And sometimes you might have a couple of avatars, and that's totally fine. You know, you might have a B2B side and then a wholesale side. And oftentimes in that case, we might ask, you know, someone to have two websites, you know, because if you are a little bit all over, you know, or if you've got too many things going on, you know, a confused mind says no, right? And so if you can go in there and you've got one target audience, one message, one package, one something that you're selling. And then you can just, it makes it a lot easier actually for marketing too. Then it's not like the whole, what they say, the spray and pray kind of thing. You know, if you can just hone in to that one target audience, you're going to save money, because it's going to be cheaper to do that. And you're going to be a lot more successful.
You, Nicole, use the word, you have to make it easy for the person, yes, coming to the website to find what they're looking for. So
right.
Very yeah. important.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, if you do have like some ads or social media or something, you can make a landing page, right? You do that. That's very specific for, you know, a target audience, and that's fine, you know, but you just don't want to, yeah, drive people to a site where there's like so much going on. Because they'll get confused and they will just bounce and go someplace else.
So talk a little bit. I know the role of SEO has changed significantly over the years. What do you see is the thing to know about the importance of SEO today?
It's all about content. And so what we've been doing is just bumping up a lot more content. And so it used to be that we would write like one article a month for our clients, and now it's more like 5 to 10. And so what we're doing is, you know, not only having all of the keywords and phrases and, you know, all of that on page SEO done on your website, but then it's about having new fresh content every month, right? So we'll have blog articles. We also have resource area that's kind of a little hidden. Maybe it's in the footer, but it's a way for us to get more content in there. And then we write a whole another slew of articles that are for backlinking purposes only. And so those are all of the articles that are like stuffed with all the keywords and phrases that are going out on other websites and forums and whatnot, and they all point back to the website. And so the more of those, plus like PR, social media, all of that content plays a big part because, Google, Bing, the search engines, they love content. And it's a lot easier now with the use of AI. But again, you have to rewrite that. But at least you can do a first pass using AI. So you can get a lot more content a lot faster.
So talk to me about how people can find you, Nicole.
Sure, they can go up to my website, which is spotdigitalmarketing.com. If someone is in the cannabis CBD space, that brand, that is nugdigitalmarketing.com. And so over there, we do work for like plant touching and non-plant touching. So we work for brands and we work for some dispensaries, but we work with a lot of ancillary companies too, financial services companies, attorneys, all sorts of different types of companies that want to either get into that space or are already in that space.
So that's really a niche area, which is very important because a lot of people don't want to touch it. So you find a way to do it that works for you as far as keeping your high level of integrity and provide the service people are looking for. So I applaud you for that. So talk a little bit about the changes you've seen real quick on Airbnb, because you've got into that and you've been seeing things really blossom there for yourself. So.
Yeah, no, that's been super fun. My husband and I started running an Airbnb about 8 years ago, up in Portland, Oregon. And we were doing, we had a house and there was a little cottage in the back. And we started just like long-term rental first is what we did. And then we're like, you know what, let's try Airbnb. And all of a sudden, we got three times the amount of money. Running the nightly rental versus the long-term rental. And so when we moved to California, we bought a property that has 10 acres out here. We're about an hour out of San Diego. And we have RVs on the property, RVs and cabins. And it's been so fun, to be able to have people come from all over the world to hang out and go wine tasting and horseback riding and all of that. So it is a very fun business for sure. And at
Yeah.
first, when I first started it, I was like, oh, let's just at least cover the mortgage. That was my goal. And then it was like, wow, we're doing a lot more than just covering the mortgage. Now this is kind of becoming a real business. And so much so that we're getting our house ready to rent that out as well.
I love it. I love it. That's take advantage of it while you can, right? So solving a problem and serving a need. Plus, you have a beautiful location, gorgeous scenery. Love it. So
Oh, thank you.
how do they find out about your Airbnb?
Yeah, so that website is ranchlifegetaway.com. So we built our own website, and so we can get direct bookings. And then we also have Airbnb comes into that, Vrbo, booking.com. So we're on a lot of different platforms, but if people come directly to our website, they can save on those booking fees. So
Wonderful. I love it. I love it. So what's in store for you in the next few months?
Oh, I'm looking at starting another business. You know me. No, it's kind of funny. I laugh because, as an entrepreneur, I don't know that I will ever retire per se. So for me, it's just like, starting new businesses or with my current businesses, finding people to help. That's what, for me, that's where I'm kind of going. It's like the more people I can get to help, then I can just really focus in on the pieces of the business that I like to do and or open up, do other businesses. And I know the other thing with our property is we're going to start doing more events out here. So we've done a few and they've been amazing. And so that's going to be another thing that I'm going to be focusing in on.
So when you love what you do, it's not work. So exactly. I'm going to invite you to hang out with me. We're going to do another recording after this for the private Facebook group for Play Big Movement. So if you have not joined that group, please do. There's no charge. But it's people who have come together and basically said they want to play a bigger game. They want to be number one in their field, live their legacy, and create maximum impact. And so it's a time to share, place to share ideas. And to so we do an additional more in-depth question about some of those bumps along the road, as well as daily habits. So stay tuned. And if you have not joined the group, please do. And thank you so much, Nicole, for being with me today.
Yeah, thank you.
For all of you watching and listening, thank you for being here for this episode of the Play Big Movement podcast. I am Sharon Lecter, your host. You are fabulous and have a great day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.